And then 1 Peter chapter 4. So we'll be in 1 Corinthians 5 for a few minutes and then 1 Peter chapter 4. So go ahead and find those right now. We'll be right there. Hey, I want you to know that our grandson, Xander, who lives in Seattle, really wanted to be here this morning for Getting the Game Sunday. And he wanted you to know he really wanted to be here. So there he is. His parents are raising him right. They're raising him to love Jesus and cheer for the Seahawks. So, yeah. You ready for the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. How many of you can just right now say amen to all of that, right? Old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Such a powerful portion of scripture, and I want to highlight just a couple of things here before we move on. The first thing I want to highlight is the fact that, and we need to all celebrate this, we have been made new in Jesus Christ. I said, we've been made new in Jesus Christ. Amen. So whatever your past, 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. No wonder you're all confused, because as it turns out, you're not the ones that are confused. That's all in 2 Corinthians. Yes. So whatever your past has been, doesn't really matter anymore. If you're in Christ, that's all done away with. And I think a lot of us, we kind of read that, but I want to make sure that really gets into your heart. Whatever your past has been, it doesn't matter anymore. God has forgiven all of that, and he's forgotten it. Amen? And you need to, too. You need to move on. The old has passed away, and now you're a new creation in Christ. And then the second wonderful promise here is the fact that we've been reconciled to God. We are now friends with God. We're in a relationship with him, and he loves you unconditionally. He's crazy about you. And he's your best friend. He's your Savior. He's the Lord of your life. He's your counselor. He's your greatest advocate. God is. So we've been reconciled to God. And then the third thing, and this is what I really want us to focus on this morning, is that God has called us and commissioned us to share this message of reconciliation. And he's deputized us to be his ambassadors to this world. So God has changed us, and now he has called us to be change agents. That which he has done in us, now he uses us to do that same thing, to multiply that miracle in the lives of other people. It's an amazing thought that God loves me so much that not only would he forgive my past, not only would he call me into relationship with him, but now he actually calls me and deputizes me to be his ambassador to this world. Now listen, how many of you can think of a few things in this world that need to change? Anybody here? Yeah. Lots and lots of stuff. We can either stick our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing's wrong, or we can throw our hands up in the air and say, well, nothing can be done about it, or we can take a hold of what God has to say about all of this, and that is we are more than conquerors through Christ, and God can and will use us to be his change agents in this world. Amen. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. That's you and me. We're the church that God has called, right? And no matter what assails the church, I want you to know, in the end, we win. Yeah, yeah. And we need to be excited about that. I hope you are absolutely passionate about your relationship with God. I hope you're passionate about what God has called you to be. I hope you're passionate about Jesus and being a part of what Jesus is doing in this world. Amen? Some of you just need to, I know you love Jesus, but you need to turn the passion level up just a little bit. Amen? I mean, some of you, like during worship, we're doing that song where you're supposed to clap like this, and you're like, I ain't doing that. I'm too cool for that. All right. Now, whether you clap or not really doesn't matter to me, but what does matter to me is, are you passionate for Jesus? I mean, is your heart really, really on fire for him? He's the greatest thing going, church. He's it. Amen? So God has called us to this, and he's given us this great ministry of reconciliation. Look, church, Jesus is coming back someday. And he is going to change everything by force. He is. One day, Jesus is going to change everything by force. Until that day, when Jesus comes to change everything by force, the way Jesus changes things right now is one person at a time. One person at a time, having a changed heart by his Holy Spirit. And God uses us to be a part of that great miracle in people's lives. So I want to share with you five things about, and this is a big, big title here, how to be a world changer. How to be a world changer, all right? Now, of course, none of us changes anything. It's Jesus in us. But how can we be used by the Lord to see change in people's lives, the changes that God wants to bring into people's lives? And the first thing is this. I want you to get this into your heart. Take seriously what the Bible says about who you are in Christ. All right? If you're going to be an agent of change, start taking seriously what the Bible says about who you are in Christ. You see, there are too many Christians sitting on the sidelines, sitting on the bench, with their heads down, instead of being where they should be, involved in the game. They're over sitting on the bench, feeling sorry for themselves. They're bored out of their minds, twiddling their thumbs because they really don't believe that they belong. They're saying to themselves, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't have any talents. I don't have any skills. I can't throw like that guy. I can't catch a pass. I can't do anything. I can't sing. I can't preach. And we just get, oh, poor, poor me. Let's all play the violin together right now. Listen. These things, they're lies. Lies, lies, lies. The devil is a liar. Stop listening to what the devil has to say about you and start listening to what God says about you. Stop listening to those echoes of what someone said to you in your past. Stop listening to your own negative self-talk. Start listening to what God has to say about you. And take a hold of it. Take seriously what God's word says about who you are in Jesus Christ. Because here's the deal. Wherever you go, it's not just you going. It's the Spirit of God going with you. Right? Whatever you do, it's not just you doing it. It's God working in you and through you. And when you speak to people, it's not just your speaking. It's the Holy Spirit guiding you and giving you the words to speak into someone's life. Take seriously who you are in Jesus Christ. Second thing I want you to take seriously is this. Take seriously the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. There's no greater power in all the world. There's no political power. There's no military power. There's no power greater in all the world than the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen to this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of the gospel. There is great power in the simple message of God's word. Amen? There's great power in that. Don't complicate it. Don't make our story the story about your religion or about your church. Don't make the story about politics. Make the story about Jesus. Amen? Keep it about Jesus. That's where the power of the gospel is. That's where the life-changing power of God is, in the simple story, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, it's really about us loving God and loving people. Loving God and loving people. So take seriously the power of the gospel. Did that scripture come up? There we go. There it is. All right. Number three, take seriously the unique ways that God can use you. The unique ways that God can use you. Listen, there's only one gospel, but there's a lot of ways to share the gospel. Okay? There's only one gospel. There are a lot of ways. God uses a lot of different things. He uses a lot of different people. He uses a lot of different personalities to share the one simple gospel message. And sometimes I think we just feel like, oh man, I just don't fit in, and I just don't think like those other people at church. I don't look like those other people at church, and maybe there's no place for me because, I'm just not like them. I just don't seem to fit in. Look, there are people, because you don't look like everybody else, because you don't think like everybody else, there are people that you can reach that nobody else in this church will be able to reach. Understand, God has made us all differently. We're all unique, and it's a beautiful thing. Where else in the world can you go where Duck fans and Beaver fans and Husky fans can all come together and be one in Christ? It's amazing. So you don't have to try to be something that you're not. Go with how God made you. Amen? Go with how God made you and watch what God can do through your life. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this. The other passage I wanted you to look up. I think this one actually is 1 Peter, though, this time, right? The end of all things is near. Therefore, when a sentence starts off, the end of all things is near, we should pay attention to what comes next. Right? Therefore, this is what we do. Be alert. Be of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, by the way. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. I want you to focus on verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And this next part is amazing. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So there's only one gospel, but it takes a lot of different forms. It looks a lot of different ways, and it's demonstrated a lot of different ways through our lives. There's only one gospel, but there's a lot of ways to share the gospel. Some of you in this room, you have incredible minds. I mean, you're just incredible thinkers. You have the ability to think logically, to make logical arguments. You have a great ability to share apologetics with people and to share Christ that way. I mean, you can. And there's people out there, that's exactly what they need. They just need someone to explain the gospel in a logical way for them. They need to understand how creation makes sense scientifically. They need to understand why we can trust in the reliability of the Bible. They need to understand what is the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. There are people like that in the world that someone like you is the exact person that can reach them. My dad was like that. My father, before he came to Christ, my dad was a science teacher, and he was not serving the Lord. He would have called himself an agnostic, and he had a lot of resistance to the gospel. And then I read a little book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. I read that book, and I shared a few things from that book with my father, my science teacher father, shared that with him. He read parts of the book, and within a few weeks, he gave his life to Jesus. And it was like before God could get to his heart, my dad's mind needed to be convinced. And then once his mind became more convinced, then his heart opened up. And there are people like that. They're looking for someone just like you who's able to share the gospel in a logical way so they get it, so that they understand, and God will use you to do that. There are other people in the world, they're not even ready to talk that way yet. There are people that are so beaten up by life, they're so beaten down, they're so downtrodden, they don't need someone giving them a bunch of answers. They just need someone to listen to them. They just need someone with a compassionate heart to listen to their story. They just need to know somebody cares. They're not interested in a bunch of reasons. They just need to know someone loves them. Someone cares for them. They need to meet a Christian who has the gift of mercy. And there are other people, they're not at a place where they're maybe like that, where they need that kind of compassion, but they're just so weighted down by sin. They're so weighted down by sin, and they've convinced themselves there's no way that God could ever forgive them. And that person needs to hear from somebody with a story. They need to hear from someone who's been there, done that, and now Jesus has saved them. And they need that encouragement that no matter what's happened in their life, God can forgive them. God does love them. There are other people, they're not ready to hear anything. They just need to see the love of God demonstrated in a practical way. They need someone to help them out with their kids. They need someone to help them move. And then when they see the love of God demonstrated in practical ways, their heart is going to open up. So they need to meet some Christians with the gift of helps. Does this all make sense to you? I want you to understand that you're all called by God and you're gifted by God, and God can and will use you. He will. Take that seriously, the gifting God has placed in your life. And then, by the way, I also want to point out verse 7 here, and this will bring us to point number 4, where it says, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. So here's the next thing about being a world changer. Take seriously the authority that you have in prayer. Take seriously the authority you have in prayer. You see, some things are never going to change until they're prayed for, right? There are some things they are never going to change until they are thoroughly prayed for. There's a story in the Gospels in Matthew 17 where a man brings his son to Jesus, and his son, as it turns out, is possessed by demons. And his disciples tried to heal this guy. He tried to cast the demons out of this boy. They couldn't do it. And so this man says, your disciples have already tried and they can't do anything. And Jesus said, this kind or this type of demon can only come out by prayer and fasting. Look, guys, there's going to be some battles that can only be won when we get on our knees. And here's the cool thing about this. Every one of us in this room can pray. I don't care what other gifts you feel like you don't have or do have or whatever. Everyone in this room has the ability to pray. We can all make a difference on our knees. We can all seek the Lord. We can all pray. And if we're going to see change in our homes, in our families, if we're going to see change in our schools, if we're going to see change in our community, if we're going to see change in our nation, the Church of Jesus Christ has to get serious about prayer. We have to. We need to be a people of prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We need to be a praying people. Take seriously the authority you have in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 reminds us our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, we operate on this level so much that we think this is where the problem is. This is where the battles are. And Paul is reminding us here, no, there's an unseen world. There's something you are not seeing. And the way that we overcome in this unseen world behind the scenes is on our knees in prayer. Take seriously the authority that you have in prayer. I prayed for my own mom and dad for 8 years before they came to Christ. 8 years. 8 years. And I want to encourage you in your prayer life. I want you to remember God sees and He remembers every single prayer you have ever prayed. God never forgets our prayers. Do you know this? This might amaze you a little bit. There are prayers that you have prayed that you have forgotten that you prayed them, but God still remembers that prayer. God still remembers it. You might have prayed something 40 years ago and you have long since forgotten that you prayed for that. And I want you to know God still remembers that prayer that you prayed 40 years ago. That's how God is. And so I want to just encourage you, continue in your prayer life. Don't give up. Understand the authority that you have in prayer. And then number 5 is this. Take seriously the nearness of the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. Again, 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. You see our assignment here on this earth, guys? It has a cutoff date. There's a deadline date. There's a day, there's going to be a day where it will be our last opportunity to tell people about Jesus. None of us knows when that day is going to be, but there will be a day where it will be too late. Take seriously the fact that Jesus is coming back. The end of all things is near. Can I tell you the devil's 4 favorite words? Want to know the 4 favorite words of the devil? I'll do it later. It's the devil's 4 favorite words for Christians to say and think. I'll do it later. I'll take care of that later. I'll just do that later. I'll tell them about Jesus later. I'll bake those cookies later. I'll pray later. I'll do it later. I'll sign up later. I'll give later. I'll start that thing later. I'll sign up later. The devil loves that, and you know why? Because he knows how many times later never comes. We say later, but then we never do it. So the devil loves it when Christians say, I'll do it later. And here's another thing the devil loves. The devil loves it when Christians say, oh, I used to do that. I've done my part. Listen, guys, the word retired is never in the Bible. Look it up in your concordance. Try to find the word retired in your Bible. There are so many Christians, so much wasted potential on people who say, you know, I've done my part. I'm just going to let the young people do that now. I used to do that. Now it's someone else's turn. I used to do that. Really? Is that what you want to say to Jesus when you're standing before Him someday? Oh, Jesus, I used to do that. I did my part. Really? I mean, you're going to look at Jesus' nail-scarred hands and scar in His side, and you're going to say, I did my part. Really? Come on, church. We don't retire until Jesus comes back. Right? We don't give up until Jesus comes back. Now, what you do might change, it might shift, it might be different, but we don't quit. We don't give up. Jesus is coming back. We need to stop saying, I'll do it later. Later may never, ever come. Today, now, start now. Amen? Man, as a pastor, I've been reminded way, way, way too many times that for some people, later never came. It never came. People that have left this earth before everybody thought they should. You just thought, as a pastor, I'm thinking, man, did we do everything we can? Have people really prayed for that person? Has people really reached out to that person? Did we do everything that we can to tell them about Jesus before they entered into eternity? Take seriously the fact that Jesus is coming back, church. He's coming back. Amen? Now, how many of you this morning, you're determined in your heart, you want to be used by God? You want to be used by God. Would you raise your hand? You're just determined, I want to be used by God. Man, just look around you. Look around you. Look at all the people that are saying, I want God to use me. I want God to use me. Whatever I can do for the Lord, I want to do that. I'm telling you, if we will take that seriously, if every person who's got their hand up right now, if we will just take that seriously and say, man, God, here I am, use me. I'm telling you, things are going to happen for the kingdom of God. Amen? Things are going to happen for the kingdom of God. Let me pray over you right now, all right? Let's just bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your church. God, I thank you for your people. Lord, I just see just every single day, I see how you use people. And even this last week, seeing this group of guys that are going over to George Minter's house to work on his shop back there. And I just think, wow, these guys are getting it. That's awesome. And Lord, in so many ways, so many good things are happening. But Lord, help us to not become lukewarm. Help us to be on fire for you. Right now, God, I just want to come against that spirit of lethargy, of compromise, of lukewarmness, God. I want us to be stirred in our spirits, God. I pray that every person in this room, God, is going to fall in love with Jesus all over again and be passionate, God, for you and passionate about how you want to use them, God. Lord, help us to make a difference for you. Help us to take seriously the call upon our life to be your ambassadors to this world, God. This world that is so hurting and lost and dying and people are divided and beaten up. And we know, God, that the only answer for people is Jesus. Oh, God, help us to take seriously the fact that we are called to be salt and light, Lord, in the darkness. We thank you, Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Amen. Our ushers are going to come.